You're listening to another Woodshop podcast, the okayest podcast of its type. Your hosts are Daniel Dunlap of Daniel Dunlap Woodworks and Peter Kapar of Petrie's Workshop. You can find them as well as the podcast on your favorite social media platforms.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to episode 195 of Another Woodshop Podcast, where this week we're joined by a full-time teacher who helps kids make eyeglasses so that they can better see all of his fire content. Woo! When he's not shaping young minds, he's cranking out jigs and projects in his shop. Man turned down the Navy SEALs to make content for you fools. He's a magnificent maker, a talented woodworker, and everything he makes is special. Out with the old and in with the Newman. Logan Newman from Newman Specials is here.
Out with the old, in with the Newman. I like that. I like that.
That was good.
What's
we
up,
got,
buddy?
We got SEAL Team 6-pack in the house.
Well, I got one of the 6-pack.
Hey.
Thank you for your drinking service. Thank you for your bottle service.
Bottle service.
I like that.
Thank you for your bottle service.
I sacrificed a lot of bottles for your freedom. I hope you're
for
happy.
Your freedom.
I couldn't be happier. I couldn't be happier that you're with us at least.
Your freedom is paved on just a row of broken glass bottles.
And bottle caps.
And speaking of bottle caps, Dan.
Our patrons?
Yes, there we go. I got to continue the tradition of really poor handoffs.
What you were talking about? That was so awkward. Speaking of patrons, no new patrons this week.
What? But yeah, they're sad. Supposed to.
I don't. People didn't get the memo. I'm
okay.
Sorry.
Okay, I still love you guys.
I'm sorry. I didn't tell my
you
friends.
Didn't sign
to,
up. You didn't. Sign
I didn't
up,
tell man. My friends to. I'm sorry.
You son of a bee. Anyway, let's give a shout out to all of our VIP patrons, as we do every week in no particular order except for the order that's on my screen. Scotty Holland with Elevated Ooh. Wood Design, Charlie Coons with Stubby K Studios, Justin Frazier from Frazier Canyon Woodworks, Jesse McIntyre from Sage Hill Woodcrafts, Gillette Woodworks, Victor Aragama, Nick Brim Classic. From Nick Brim Woodworking.
That's a joke from last week.
Matt Maynard of Patriotic Pines. Bill Burkle from WCB Woodworking. Malcolm over at Boston Nova Woodworks. That got away from me. Justin at Calvary Customs. Patrick Gensel. Michael Flickinger. Scott Shirk from Red Lake Custom Woodworks. Max and Minnie Coons from Stubby K Studio. And Justin Bailey, who is alive and well. From Campfire Woodworks.
All sorts
Thank
of great
you to each
people.
And every one of you guys. We appreciate you long time and love you that much.
A sexy crowd.
If you want to join the Matt Army, as we lovingly call them, on any one of our tiers, not just the VIP, you can go over to patreon.com/anotherwoodshoppodcast. Get signed up over there. We offer things and such. Go check it out.
And different tiers. And it all helps, and we appreciate it
dearly.
Tears
like the kind that drop from my eye when nobody signs up.
Sad Dan. Nobody wants to see Sad Dan.
Nobody wants to see
He gets all whiny and cry. Come on. Yeah. You want Happy Dan. You want Happy Party Dan.
Yeah. Happy Party Dan.
You can hire him for parties, kids.
No, you can't.
I was going to say, he doesn't do that anymore.
Well,
anymore.
Not since the incident.
Not since he beat me to it, son of a bee.
He had to shut down the Daniel Dunlap experience for
anyway,
a reason.
Anyway, Patreon.
Patreon.
Give it a look, would you? That was fun. All right.
Our motto should be, why not?
Eh? All right.
Speaking of why not.
Logan. Let's talk about you and me.
Let's talk about Logan Baby.
I don't know the rest of the words, though.
That's okay.
We're not going to continue that because...
No, demonetized. You don't want that. But Logan, thank you so much for joining us. We had a grand old time at WorkbenchCon, but I have to start with the how I interview everyone is, who the hell do you think you are? Tell us about yourself.
So, you know, I got to tell you, I've actually been dreading this question. I don't have a good answer for it.
It's coming.
Yeah, I know, but I don't have a good answer for it. Like, I'm almost 51 years old. And I'm like, I still don't know who I am.
You're older than I am.
Holy crap, you're old. Good Lord.
Yeah.
How are you still alive?
You're like Derek from Malden.
You know what?
Old.
Listen, I do have my walker over here. I wore Depends so I could be on the show.
That's good. Yeah. Smart move.
I knew what to do. I knew what good to do. Job. Depends are there. Yeah,
you're a pro at this.
You know what? I'm a guy who makes things. I was saying to somebody a while ago, I realized it took me forever. I didn't know who I was, and I still don't really know who I am, but it took me forever to realize I'm a maker. I just like to make things. And you know, like even my day job where I teach kids to make glasses, we make stuff, we make other kids happy. And I like to make, obviously, jigs. I like to make things in my shop. I just like to make stuff. I used to think I was a problem solver, and then I realized, no, I just like to make things that fixed problems.
Question. Do you make Answer. Problems?
It depends on who you're asking. My wife isn't here, so no, I don't.
Don't make problems. I was going to say, you should ask his wife.
Yeah.
Is there any way I can get your wife's phone number? I'd like to
ask that's her. Very forward, man. He's still alive.
555.
Holy moly.
Well, I guess my wife is Dan's retirement plan. So
hit me with the 555.
So, you know, all the stuff I said in the intro is basically technically all true. And you do
true,
actually
which is the best kind of true.
Make glasses for kids at a school. Like you teach them how to make glasses and you get doctors involved and it's a whole program that you've built. Can you talk a little bit about like how you got to that point?
So
start from birth. Go.
Oh, so it was a cold April morning. I was brought out into this world forcefully. I was
You were evicted.
Yes. Please, sir, may I have another tapeworm? sorry. I thought you'd like that.
Pre-show.
Yeah, sorry. You guys missed that one. So I joined the Navy. I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. We did not have a whole lot of money growing up. So I knew my parents couldn't afford to help me and my younger sister through college. And I didn't know what I wanted to do anyway. So I joined the Navy. And even then, I wasn't entirely sure what I wanted to do. I went into the medical field and they promised me OR tech, which I thought would be a lot of fun after boot camp. And then
I think it's
hospital.
OM tech. They make lasers.
Yeah. Oh, I've heard good things about them. And I wanted to just, you know, do something medical because I thought that'd be fun. And so when I was in hospital corpsman, which is like a medic in the Navy, they came to us and said, all right, listen, sucks to be you guys. You can't do what you wanted to do because it's filled up for the fiscal year. You got three choices. You can become a flight medic, which euphemistically called pecker checkers because pilots are not known for their...
That was Pete's high school name.
But that was in Poland. And
it all translates.
It translates easily.
So, they were known to fool around with women. So you had to worry about that. You have a nuclear subtech. So I would basically have gone down on a submarine and checked nuclear radiation levels. Or I could become an optician. And this was during the first Gulf War. And I actually said, can I go with the Marines? Everyone else in my unit is going, can I go with the Marines? And they said, no. You have to pick one of these three. I said, here's the thing. I don't really find any of those particularly engaging. They said, sucks to be you. Again, pick one. So I chose to be an optician. I was stationed in Yorktown, Virginia, where I made glasses. I worked in a clinic. I drank my way through 3.5 years. I had a great time. And really... Honestly, as I get older, I look back more on what I did then and realize what an impact it has still on me now. So I got out of the Navy. I went to college. I was going to become an optometrist. And between my junior and senior year, I did a job shadowing in an optometrist's office where I literally fell asleep as he's examining someone. It was just Better number one, better number two, better number two, better number three. Is this better? Is this better? Is this better? Is this better? Is this better?
It's like, my father-in-law is a retired optometrist. Can't.
Oh, and, I didn't see that coming.
And thank God for optometrists. Like, I love him. And if I could have gone, if I could do it again differently, I would. I need those skills. So I decided to become a teacher. And honestly, when I was doing my student teaching is when I found out how much I loved teaching, how much I loved working with kids. You had to join the cool kids club with glasses.
Yeah. You're one of the nerds.
Okay.
Hey, okay. Mine are just because I'm old and I need them to read. I Same. Can't see anything up. Yeah.
Those are so,
my eyes used to be perfect. I hit 40. Done.
Goes all the way down. Yeah. So about actually 12 or 13 years ago, actually in 2008, one of my buddies came to me and he goes, "Hey, I got a kid that needs glasses. How cool would it be if we had a program where kids made glasses for other kids?" I was like, "Yeah, it's great, but nobody's paying for those programs. They only want to send kids to college." And he says, "If I get money, can you build a program?" I was like, "Of course." Literally 4 years later, he's sitting in his office. An administrator walks by, stops, backtracks and says, "Hey, got an opportunity for $65,000. You got any good ideas?" He said, "I want to see kids making glasses for kids." She goes, "Write it up and send it to me." So we got approved by New York State and they gave us funding and I built a summer program and they liked what I did so much that they gave us more money so that I could create a whole program around it. And basically I created this program where I teach kids how to make a pair of glasses, work with patients, and then we get doctors to volunteer. They come in, they do refractive screenings. My kids will do everything from checking their distance between their eyes, a pupillary distance, helping them pick out frames, pre-screening for all the questions and everything that you need to have done for the doctor. And then we make them and give them out. So over the past 10 years, I've made and given out around 5,000 pairs of glasses.
That is amazing.
Whoa.
And then every other day I drive around giving out glasses, fixing glasses, or fitting kids for glasses. So it's a lot, you know, it's a lot, but it's pretty cool.
That's one of the coolest examples or most unique examples of like STEM that I've heard of, like, or like even a hands-on, or, you know, I asked you initially if it was like a technical or technical high school type thing, but like, that's a really cool trade. Like that's the stuff that we should be offering our kids, the stuff that like might not be as sexy as you know, electrician or plumber or whatever, but like, you know,
wow,
these are
nobody's
other...
ever said electrician or plumber sexy.
Hey, have you seen Lee Ullman? Anyways, but like there's other trades, like obviously those are very important ones, but there's so many different options and I feel like those do get a lot of you know, they get seen a lot more, pun intended, but this, like, this is something very important. A lot of people wear glasses. This is, and being able to start in essentially a medical field as early as high school, it could be completely life-changing for these kids.
But not only are you teaching kids how to do a trade, quote-unquote, but you're actually giving back to the community, which is fantastic. You're kind of doing both sides of the – I don't know what the word is. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. So here's two things. Number one – so my buddy that got me the funding originally, he got an idea from an optometrist that he started a precision glass manufacturing program because Rochester, New York and Arizona are the two precision glass hubs of the United States. So microscopes, cameras, satellites, all those things, like all of these have precision ground glass and they're either made here because Xerox and Kodak were here, or they're made in Arizona. So I always tell people that his program is really, really important locally, but mine is global. You can go anywhere in the world. It's the same tools. It's the same equipment. And right now, Walmart is hiring licensed opticians in Rochester at $31 an hour, which you figure you come out of high school, you go get 2 years to get a license. I mean, that's a damn good pay at $31.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, that's more than I make currently doing this podcast.
Carry the two.
By upwards of two score and 18 cents.
About $40.18.
Two score.
Oh, we learned that a score is 20 years. Or it means 20 or 20.
Oh,
whatever,
20. I thought it just meant 20.
Well, it means 20.
I thought I could use it interchangeably.
I think you can. Because it was two.
I like it.
Score years. So score is.
Dude, I drank 12 scores of beer at WorkBenchCon.
No, that's a fantastic story, man.
So cool.
That's really amazing. It's great to hear of like people that can do so much and give so much back. It's amazing.
Well, it does. I love to show my students both the kids that they see, but also the kids that I give out glasses to that they didn't get a chance to see. And some of those kids are – I've seen girls cry. I've seen kids dance down the hallway. Yeah, I can see. One girl puts on her glasses. She looked outside and she just starts crying. She's like, I can see the leaves on the tree again. It's so amazing. Yeah. Although I did love the kid that literally skipped and jumped down the – hallways, like, I can see.
That's fantastic.
Oh, that's so amazing.
So during Pete's intro, not to change the subject, but during Pete's intro, he mentioned the Navy SEALs. Is that true?
Well, so in high school, I was a swimmer, and I was a very good swimmer. Not a very good. I was a good swimmer. And so when I went to
above average at best.
Yeah, yeah. So when I went to boot camp, you had the opportunity to try out for the SEALs, and I did all the stuff to be accepted into a pre-SEAL training, except for the fact that it was boot camp and we were in San Diego and there was no women, and I didn't see a woman for 2 months. And so I wrote a letter to an old girlfriend who was in the Army, and then we talked on the phone, and I asked her to marry me over the phone, which really made for an interesting phone call when I called my parents from boot camp and told them that I got engaged. It was, oddly enough, really quiet. I don't know why it got so quiet.
Shock and awe, I think.
And this was before online
awe.
Dating services, right?
Yeah, yeah. And then I went and I spent a week with her after boot camp and realized why we weren't dating. And so
the marriage never happened?
No.
Oh, man.
So you gave up the Navy SEALs for tail.
Well, I wouldn't put it like that, but yes.
Yes.
You know what?
Put it like that.
I hope my wife does not listen to this.
That might be the most American thing I've heard in a long time. Yeah, I was going to fight for our freedom, but I decided, ladies, women.
Well,
Hey.
We were all young 20-somethings once upon a time. Totally understand. Yeah, understandable. Yeah.
Proposing via phone, and I bet you it was a collect call or something, too. It like really
oh, God, if that was a collect call, please tell me it was.
It probably was. We had our phone banks.
Would you like to accept a call from, hey, it's looking, do you want to marry me? Just like real quick as your name. Oh, our younger listeners won't know what that is. Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh. Oh. So, kids, once upon a time, there were these machines that were this big, bigger than a bread box.
Oh, you had to get that phone card at the commissary, right?
Yes, actually.
Good old days.
Oh, we had. Anyway.
Yeah, so that kind of brings us to modern day, present day. Tell me about your woodworking account. What made you start Newman's Specials Woodwork? Actually, tell me what the specials means in your account name.
All right. So, first of all, I like to make things. And when I first started making things, what does everybody start with? What's the first thing we all...
Cutting board?
Before that. Before you make something to sell to people, you just need to make something. What do you start with? 2x4s.
A workbench.
You start with 2x4s and plywood. And so I had a whole bunch of 2x4s and plywood stuff and just, I needed something. I'll buy this and I'll put it together. And when my wife, she was my fiance at the time, moved from our apartment to our first house, one of my friends walked in to help us move, and he looked at a desk I had, just sort of, it was a Franken desk. I just put stuff together. And he goes, "What the hell is this? Is this a Newman special?" So fast forward a couple years, and now we come to the cutting board section of it. And I'd made a couple cutting boards, and we had friends that owned a wine bar, and they said, "Hey, we're going to do a little, a little artisan sale. Would you like to come in and set up?" I said, "Sure." Like, well, oh, so the Newman specials came after that. So I had to, I made a whole bunch of cutting boards, went to the thing. I sold a couple, and then I put some on, I don't even know, Etsy, something. Someone messaged me, said, "Hey, can you meet me?" So she takes a look at my cutting board. She goes, "These are beautiful. I run this Arts at the Gardens. It's a big show that we do every year. It's a juried art show. Would you be interested in being a woodworker there?" I said, "Sure." So she gave me an application, and I had to have a tax ID, and I had to have a name. And I'm like, what the hell am I going to call it? Logan's Woodwork? No. Newman? Oh, I don't know. Oh, I know. Newman Specials. Because that way, everything I make is crap, and I can remember that I made crap, and now I'm making nicer stuff.
I love that story. That's fantastic.
That's a nice little origin story.
Oh, that's great.
I mean, it always reminds me of what I used to make, and you know, now I make stuff that is significantly better than 2x4s.
I mean, it's okay.
I don't use 2x4s as much. I mean, really, that's what's important.
He can afford pressure treated now.
So, that's right. I got the sexy
moving
stuff.
Moving up in the world.
Pressure treated dining room table.
I made an in-grain pressure treated cutting board.
Ooh.
Didn't get so a lot good. Of love for that one. Ooh, I should do that and post it online, actually.
Oh my God, I was just thinking that. Can you imagine the hate?
Can you imagine the trolls and the hate? Oh my goodness.
Remember it was a pine cutting board, end grain pine cutting board that I sent you in the chat. For some reason, I was on a front page of Etsy and I'm like, is that what I think it is? And like, it looks cool
because it had pith in it and everything.
Dude, it was, I saw it and I'm like, it's pretty, but I would never use it.
I just thought of something. In-grain, pressure-treated cutting board, but laser engrave it and make it personalized.
Oh, my God. Nothing like
the
arsenic catching on fire.
I'm sure the fumes coming off that laser engraving would be fantastic.
It's fine.
I don't know why my hair is falling out in clumps.
Only on the right side, though. It's super weird.
So, dude, you're kind of a monster account. You're very consistent, not only with your content, but you're one of the few people that has thumbnails for almost all your videos. You actually put in the work, and it is paying off. You're at like 214K on Instagram, over 200K on TikTok. I feel like because of the dancing.
You've blown up a lot in the last year and a half or so.
I mean, look at those eyes.
I mean.
And thighs.
Hello. It's me. I mean, last year, about this time, I guess I was at about 120.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Gosh.
At Maker Camp, I think. So, at Maker Camp, I was at like 100. So, funny story. I was at like 142. I passed 200K on TikTok the first night of Maker Camp. And now I'm at 204.
Woo!
Yeah. Like, wow.
That's
it's just really a fire.
For the last 4 months.
You know, I used to be better. TikTok is, I don't know. It's just weird.
They're all, nobody knows. They're all. It's all a guessing game.
Yeah, it's a lot of like, I feel like initially when you get on TikTok, you just get thrown followers too. Like Dan and I both like kind of like popped off and then like there's a coast.
I've been at 130,000 on TikTok for over a year. I don't know what the deal is.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say it's the viral stuff and whether or not it hits and I don't know. It's TikTok in the past, I would say 6 months is really, it's just not as much fun as it was, I feel like, because everything's an ad. Every time I go on there, like it's another ad.
It's QVC.
Every other one.
It's QVC. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just irritating.
TikTok shop ad. It's crazy.
Yep. It's really
rough. I was watching something today, and somebody did Old Spice on their miter saw. Like,
that was Jeff from Maker's Way, actually. Yeah. That wasn't an ad. That was just funny. But
I was like, is this another one of the ads? Or because you get the emails. Like, I'm sure you guys get them too. Oh, we love your TikTok. We'd love you to, you know, use our product. And it's a...
makeup.
Yeah.
It's stuff that you're like, you're clearly not watching my channel.
Right? Well, my favorite is whenever they quote something. They're like, oh, we loved the video you did of you doing this. We'd like you to use... That's not no.
That makes not no sense. Makes no sense. I just got one today, and
TikTok's a different beast.
Yeah, I just got one today, and I deleted it, and I can't remember what it is now. So it was ridiculous. I swear it was probably makeup or fashion or something.
Yeah.
Well, I've been getting weird emails where sometimes I'll just entertain the idea. I like throw back my media kit at them or whatever. And they'll even respond, and the message is like, it almost looks like an instant message sent in my email. And they're like, you know, one of them was like, can you send that information again? We didn't get it. And like, it's like, cause they're using some internal messaging email system, and it like, and I'm like, I don't have time for this. Go away. Like, I'm done with you. That's it. You had your shot. You're dead to me.
You had one shot, one opportunity.
Make every moment. Vever, how do you say it? Vevor.
I've seen a lot of their stuff.
Yeah, they just messaged me too. Yeah. Just like Temu stuff, it looks like.
Yeah. It's another Temu, yes.
Yeah.
Temu. That's right. Say it right. You're wearing the shirt.
Even Pete screwed that up.
Temi.
If you're watching the video, the sweatshirt, Temu.
From Temu.
You got 16 of them for $11.
So you're also on YouTube. How did you get into that? Was it just like, I might as well, or like necessary evil, or that's like where you want to be going?
I post the same video to all three places. And it's funny because my YouTube is, I don't know, 30-something. And it's all from the shorts. Anytime I try to do a long form, I just don't have the time for it. Like I've done a couple longer videos. It's just really difficult to have the time to video and edit and voice and everything else. You talk to Suman. He spends like 60, 80 hours doing his videos.
Never heard of him. No.
Yeah, it is a lot of work. That's for sure.
It's a whole different beast too. Yeah. It's just, and I noticed like some of your videos are shot entirely in vertical, which is so brave for YouTube. Because for a while before shorts, if there was a vertical video on YouTube, you were like just like put to the bottom of the list. But now it's acceptable.
Though, way more acceptable.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like it's like so acceptable now because like there's times that
it's almost
Dan and
required
I would talk about
anymore.
This. We'll watch clips, like movie clips or TV shows on TikTok, and then we'll go into the account. Well, what's part two? I got to see the part two now. You know, and then
I find
you myself, you're like half hour in.
I find myself watching whole like shows on TikTok.
Dang,
you're like, just watch.
Go on YouTube and watch this whole show. Because not always TV shows. Sometimes it's just like someone making something or a
camping
video.
I stopped myself from doing that, though. Like if I know I'm getting into like a clip, I'll be like, okay, phone down. I'm going to go find it on the TV somewhere. So, like, last night, I was watching Django Unchained clips because they kept coming up in my TikTok feed.
That was me last week.
Last night, funny. I was like, okay, screw it. Put my phone down. Went to Amazon Prime. Rented it for $2. Watched the whole thing. And then my wife, she'd never seen it. And she's like, oh, my God, what are you watching? I'm like, Django Unchained.
It's a great movie.
It's a great movie.
Solid movie.
It's always interesting, though.
The old one.
Yeah. It's always interesting, though, because whenever you see those, sometimes it's one you've never even heard of. And you're like, ooh, I could watch this.
Yeah, this and then it takes forever to figure out what it is. Because
they never post
nobody
it.
Will say the actual name of the show or the movie. That's
my biggest pet
peeve. I could rant for that for hours.
The worst is when the clip is the only interesting part of the movie.
Yeah.
And then you go to like watch it on Netflix and you're like, this is awful. This is just so bad. But anyways, back to the actual meat and potatoes You.
Logan. Don't say meat and potatoes. I'm so hungry.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Dan. Back to the salad and greens. The oatmeals. So you're, I mean, dude, you're like, you're genuinely like a monster account. Talk about this sometimes where you tend to be in different bubbles of makers on social media. Even on Instagram, there's different like groups that kind of you get served their content. Like I've been following you for a while. I don't see your content ever until like literally a week or two before WorkbenchCon. I was like seeing you a bunch. And then we met up at WorkbenchCon. I was like, this guy's great. And then Dan actually mentioned like, hey, let's have him on. I'm like, hell yeah. But it's so weird that like you being such a large account, I don't get to see you that often, even though you're how consistently you're posting.
Yeah.
And, you know, like sometimes you just don't know who's out there doing awesome stuff because just the algorithm doesn't give it to you.
Well, I mean, first of all, I'm not that big of an account. There's obviously much bigger accounts.
You're kind of a medium deal, bud.
I would go with medium. I would say medium. And, you know,
extra
the
medium.
Thing is, wow, I do wear a large you're shirt welcome. Now. Thanks. You know, it's like anything else. I started on Instagram in 2016. So I've been on here posting, but I didn't it was funny because I started TikTok during COVID. The pandemic. They sent the email and they said, "Hey, we'd like to pay you to start posting on here." Yeah.
Oh wow, yeah, I remember that.
It was nice. And so, you know, you start posting on there, you do stuff. And I actually blew up there pretty quickly. And and so I started doing voiceovers there because I don't know. I noticed I did something and I did a voiceover. And I was like, oh, this did better than my music. So I went back to the music, of course, and it sucked. And so then I started doing the same thing on Instagram. And at one point, I was always 10 less than on Instagram than my TikTok. So when my TikTok was 50, I was at 5,000 on Instagram. When I got to 100,000 on TikTok, I was at 10,000. And then, you know, over the last year, like you said, year and a half, I moved up from 100. And, you know, it's all about you have a couple good viral videos. And and really, I think what happened for me, so I haven't really told anybody this. So I was at 142,000 right after Christmas. And on a whim, I posted my plans for my tabnet, that folding table cabinet thing I did. Uh-huh. And I reposted a video that I'd posted in August. So when I posted it in August, I got 70,000 views on it. When I posted it on TikTok at the same time, I got like 4 million. I think 4 million. And I sold a huge amount of the plans. And then I reposted it just the Thursday before New Year's. And over the course of the next week and a half to 2 weeks, I sold 600-700 copies of the plans and 50,000, fully 50,000 followers from that one video.
That's awesome.
It was incredible. And, you know, we were talking in the pre-show about the guy who did workers versus cancer, woodworker versus cancer. And, you know, how do you deal with all the comments? Man, it was crazy. I had to put my phone down. I could not respond to stuff. It was just overwhelming to see all that coming in. Yeah. And I think, again, I think, like you said, Pete, I noticed too that whenever I have the thumbnail and a title on it, my video tends to do better than if I don't have a thumbnail for me. Like there are certain things I know for me make a difference, and that's one of them. And so I'm assuming that people who saw that video liked what they saw on my page and they stayed because I had another video. So that video got 12 million views. And then I had another video about a month later. I don't know if you guys ever saw the one about my hand. I have this thing called Raynaud's.
Fingertips okay.
So that video, I did a video about it, watching the blood flow back into my hand, 40 million views.
Good Lord.
Wow.
Right? And whoa. I'm still
getting
comments.
All my weird body things now. Okay.
Dude, it was crazy.
Get ready, world.
But I got 10,000 people came into my page after that. And I was really excited because I didn't, like, you know, the people coming into my page who saw the tabinet are like, oh, this is woodworking, this is building, this is making stuff, this is what I want to see. The people who saw my hand, I don't want them following me for my hand.
I know, it's, dude, it's at 5,994 comments.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just 6,000 comments on that thing.
So, here's the thing. Like, I talk about this, and it drives my wife nuts. It's social media. I believe that if I'm posting and somebody comments, it's my responsibility to respond. Like, on YouTube, all the time, I get people going, well, I mean, there's different ways of looking at it. All the time, people on YouTube are going, oh, I can't believe you responded. Nobody responds. This is the first time anyone's responded. But you're posting, I'm posting something, you're interacting. It's almost, it's a part of a conversation. I believe it's my responsibility. If you're doing that, I should have the, I don't know, gratitude, politeness, yes, whatever.
Now, here's my whole thing with that. I think Instagram bit itself in the butt with the engagement because they have an anti-spam that kicks in.
True.
And it is very aggressive, and it does not look if you are an actual creator or just a spam account, because I have PTSD and I've had my account shut down because I tried responding to all the comments on a viral post. And back in the day, viral was like 100K, right?
Right.
But like, YouTube encourages that. So they're on YouTube, I'm responding to every single comment. TikTok's probably a lot more aggressive too. Honestly, on Instagram, I'll respond if I have a video doing well, probably respond to maybe 9, and I kind of like,
I kind of take
a couple and I'll walk away.
I take the Brad Rodriguez approach. He mentioned this when we had him on several months ago. I respond the first like 24 hours.
Yes. After that, the first hour, I'll be responding to almost everyone, and then I kind of back off. If it's viral, if it's a regular post.
If it's a regular performing post, you know, I'll respond. But if it's if it's something that's getting a lot of traction, I can't engage with everybody. There's just no way. So
it's also a lot of time.
So it's a huge amount of time. So that one about my hand, I posted after I got shut down trying to respond to people, and then I realized how many comments were coming in. I was like, no. And I just posted. I said, hey, thank you. I can't respond to everybody. I appreciate it. But my tabinet was about the plans, and I wanted people to buy the plans. So I was working harder to respond to those.
Well, yeah, that drives more engagement, right?
Right, right. And more people would buy them. Right. So that that made a lot. I think that helped. But yeah, you can't on a viral video. It's impossible.
A good thing is always to like pick the most like concise question or comment that you get asking for info, respond to that and pin that bad boy. And then it's at the top. So anytime somebody goes to comment, hey, where can I get the plans? And then immediately underneath, like, link in a bio or whatever, you know, and people can go.
Well,
there,
you can't do that on TikTok anymore.
Oh, you can't?
No, they took it away like a year ago.
You can't pin comments anymore?
You can't pin them, no.
Oh,
which
bummer.
Sucks.
I had no idea. Yeah. Ugh. Shows you how close I pay attention.
Screw all this.
I was going to say, shows you how much you use TikTok. I don't know why I'm at 130,000 and won't grow.
Yeah, right? You guys remember Threads? That was great.
That was good. That was successful. That was a good week. Yeah. Right? That was a good week.
Like the shirt I'm wearing, Threads?
Yeah, it's like IGTV. You remember that?
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember when that was like the hot thing and like everybody was like, IGTV, you got to get on it. You got to get on it. It's the YouTube killer. Okay.
The good old days.
So like actually,
Instagram guides. That was another one that died quick.
So one of the things I did too, you were talking about YouTube doing the long form. I actually took a whole bunch of my short form videos that made up like, basically a series, and I put them all together and I posted it as
smart.
One video.
Okay. So did like a compilation to finish the whole project.
Yep.
Nice.
I did that with a couple, one or two, you know, they did okay.
See, that's the thing. You know,
didn't put any effort in.
You don't know what's going to work and what people are going to find engaging or interesting unless you do it. You know, we all have this, and I suffer from this immensely, where I won't do a video if I don't think it's something that like will look good long term. But I'm not thinking of like just me setting up a jig for like a difficult tool or something. Like, hey, here's how you set up this dovetailing jig from Porter Cable.
That's what we were talking about during the in between pre-show and this actual show is one of Logan's jigs is actually fairly simple, but like you never know what the heck is going to take off. Yep. It is crazy what will take off. So don't ever be afraid to like do the thing, right?
I agree.
So, well, let's talk about that a little bit. So you, a large part of your business nowadays is jigs and templates, right?
Yeah.
And plans. So yeah. How did you get into that? And like, how is that performing? Because like we kind of talked about one thing going viral for you already, but you've had some ups and downs, real high ups and some downs with some of your recent stuff that went viral, right?
Yeah. So I want to sidestep the question.
How dare you?
Very political of you. Oh my goodness.
Thanks. Thanks.
A handsome question.
I want to go back to it, but I want to frame it in terms of Instagram. So, you know, at the beginning, you're posting pictures of, hey, here's this table I made. Here's this thing. And when I was on Instagram at the beginning, you know, the goal was if I post this, maybe someone will see it and like it and buy it, or they'll ask me to make them one. And over time, I realized that that wasn't happening very much. I sold a couple of things. One time I did this beautiful spalted maple waterfall bench. It was literally one of the most beautiful pieces of spalted maple I've ever seen. Had like these natural green colors going through it. And I posted a picture of it. I was taking it to an art show and somebody messaged me immediately, said, I want to buy it. And that was like one of the few times that happened. And then as I started posting and then doing voiceovers, I noticed that when I was talking about making something or talking about how I did something, I was doing more educational. That's when people were more likely to be, oh, that's cool. I never thought about that. And I realized that. So first of all, I taught myself everything that I'm doing. I don't, you know, some of it's YouTube, but for the most part, I have something I need to do. I'm going to figure out how to do it. And so I come at it sometimes differently than other people. And so when I post pictures or videos or, you know, a reel of that, they go, oh, I never thought about doing it that way. That's totally different. That makes a lot of sense because I'm stupid and I need to break it down to be as simple as possible. So I try to make things really, really simple, like my jigs. So when I first made my router table, I remember the first time I posted about it and it went nuts on TikTok. Instagram was pretty big. I mean, it was huge for me then. And you know, I was just like, all right, here's how I did it. I actually did do a video on how I made it on YouTube. And every time I do a video that I think is going to be big because people wanted to see it, it does nothing. Yeah, right? You're like, oh, everybody wants to see this. I'd better hurry up and make it.
This is going to kill. I know it.
Right? This is the one. No. No, not for me. No. So, you know, so then I just started focusing more on, you know, I lean into it. Why not do that? I'm still making enough stuff and now I can show the process of how I make things and, you know, a component of it and people like to see it. What's really funny, and I was cleaning up, I was rearranging stuff because my wife is coming in and doing some stuff in here. I found what started one of my jigs. I do a flattening jig for a trim router and I actually started it as a dado jig. That's what it originally was to use my trim router to do dados. And then I needed to clean off epoxy off something. I'm like, oh, this will work. And that's what I used. And so now it sells. It's one of my selling jigs. Jig selling. Selling. I don't know. Yeah.
Hey, it pays the shop bills.
It does.
Right. That's the nice thing. And this is part of your plan for retirement because you're in education. You said you said in a pre-show, I think you have about 7 years left.
Yep.
And then your plan is to lean into this full time.
Yeah. So, you know, it's hard. Yeah. I, like you said, people ask me that all the time and it's a tough question.
I've seen people ask you that. I think I heard somebody ask you that at WorkbenchCon in person.
Yeah. I probably asked you that.
Yeah. I think it was Pete. I didn't want to throw him under the bus.
He doesn't pay attention.
I just asked you now.
Oh, see, I already answered it at Workbench. I have 7 years so I can retire. And when I retire, New York State, I will have, I think, 60% of my last 3 year average of my last 3 years salary and full medical, I think. So kind of hard to turn that down.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
And I'll be 58. So, you know, you can retire at 58. I can do this for another 10 years.
58. So that means you'll have a good 7 years left of life.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Actually, my family, we're all from my mom's side of the family. We're from Eastern Europe. So not Poland, but Lithuania, Latvia, all that area, Russia. They are all 95. Everybody lives to their like 94, 95. On my dad's side of the family.
And they all smoked, they drank, they never exercised.
Yep.
They like smoked meats every day.
Yep.
Yeah.
Challenge accepted.
Yep. I figure I'm okay. I don't drink every day, so.
So I got at least until 80.
Yeah, I'll probably live. You know what? Drinking every other day, I'll probably live till I'm 106. So.
Attaboy.
All right. Everybody take note.
Drink every other day. So. You know, I figure I'll have about 10 years that I can work and do stuff. I don't know. It's hard though. And, you know, Dan, I envy you at times because you have the time to be in the shop all day. You're 8 hours whenever it starts.
Don't envy me.
It's a
love hate.
It's a love hate, definitely.
Well, I mean, yeah, we talked about this. The Etsy, it goes nuts. You get
PTSD. It's a love hate relationship at this point.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, let's also talk about, so I'm going to now sidestep something you said, because that's the theme apparently. And that's the whole concept of going full time. So like, you know, people have asked you that. People ask me that all the time. Like, oh, when are you going full time? And I'm, you know, my short answer now is like, well, we had Emma come full time. So she's working full time for us. But the real answer is I'm full time already. Here's the thing. You work a regular job.
You have two full-time jobs, basically.
Yeah. Yep. You work a regular job. You work anywhere from 35 hours to, some people work up to 80 hours for their job. If it's a salary or they're just insane or they love their job, you know, so that could just be a full-time job. Well, guess what? I put in, because it's weekends, it's evenings, and like sometimes downtime at work, I'm like answering emails or like checking comments or whatever. Like it's a full-time job. I am working two full-time jobs. So if I ever go, quote unquote, full time, aka retire one job, it's really just like pivoting that time and hopefully having more free time. But let's be real, we're all dumb. We love this too much, right? We're gonna go from 8 hours and like 6 hours to 10 or 12 hours a day. So we're just saving like 2 hours. We're still gonna be out here for a while.
And this guy right here, the one that's just talking. Not only does he have two full-time jobs, but he's going to add a kid into the mix here pretty soon.
Yeah, because I'm what you call Polish.
No.
But it's, you know, that's the thing. Like, you're already full-time with this thing you're doing. And not only that, like, you are working a full-time job. And you're also doing, essentially, outreach on the side, which is another thing. You know, and the whole concept of, oh, full-time, like, it's a very fluid number of hours per day.
Yeah. It's exhausting, you know, and that's what we were talking about. I went into Workbench. I honestly,
you were there?
Yeah. I was in the lobby when you went upstairs to bed.
that tracks. Yeah.
Yeah. So I had been working for about 2 months. I'd been working 11, 12 hour days. At one point, when I was trying to make the jigs and get everything set up on my Onefinity so I could cut it, I was using Carveco. I sat down with this guy, Jason Timberfalls. He is a Carveco master. And I sat down and I paid him money to sit with me for 2.5 hours to teach me how to do the program to run my jigs. And my wife was literally – she wasn't yelling at me, but she was not happy because – I had been working so hard to get to this point, and it just built up, and I got everything. And then I posted the video actually that weekend, and everything went crazy there. And so I get to Workbench, and I was just exhausted already. Like, I wish I'd been in a better place mentally when I got there because I was just overwhelmed, and I was so focused on what had been happening and everything else. It was overwhelming. Not as overwhelming as Dan's 108 late shipping.
Well, jeez, yeah. They weren't all late. They were.
They weren't all late.
It was 102, and 34 or 35 of them were late.
Dan was going around workbench gone, showing everyone off like their baby photos of a newborn. Like, yeah, look at my baby.
I feel like people don't really understand. They don't grasp, like, every week when we talk about what's on our bench. And I say, that's the orders. I don't feel like they actually grasp how many I do every week. It's insane.
I haven't seen anyone be that excited about things being late since ML got pregnant.
Well, you know, people are like, hey, how are things going? I'm like, well, let me show you. I shouldn't be here, and I'm just scrolling.
Just to put it in perspective, Dan just went, wee, on the phone, and it was like going by, and there was just, it wasn't
so many
ending.
Little red.
No.
Here's actually the funny thing. I have never in my life seen the red late thing on my Etsy. Like, I've always been
able
to ship
out on time. Dan had nearly 40 of them.
And Dan had a wall of them, and I was like, that's a feature I haven't seen.
I wish I didn't see it. I've seen it a couple times in the last 2 weeks.
I mean, it's not, it doesn't,
you can't do anything.
It doesn't, yeah, I mean, it doesn't feel good. You know, all I can do is laugh about it, but like,
I mean, being busy is good, right?
It's frustrating because
Onefinity has a 6 week lead time.
I get messages. Obviously people are like, hey, where's my order? Luckily I feel like a lot of people that order from me are probably listeners or followers, which I appreciate. So they understand.
However,
you know, I get a lot of people who have no idea who I am or what I do. So, you know, when I get those messages, I'm like, hey, I really appreciate your order. I'm a little one man shop. I've been overwhelmed for a while now. Please bear with me. If you want a refund, I'll give you a refund, but please just hold on for.
That's really nice for you to offer too. I think that's good that you're offering that, because most people are just going to be like, no, I appreciate you saying that. Like,
I mean, yeah. I got a message just today, and while we're doing the show, she says, that's all right, Daniel. I should probably cancel it. Best of luck.
Okay. So hey,
it happens. It sucks, but it happens.
Not bad.
It does. Yeah, you got to do what you got to do.
Exactly.
I had one an order for my tabnet that I had hoped to get done before workbench, and she messaged me that night, and she said, hey, where's my thing? Oh, I was going to send you a message. I forgot. She was very patient and very nice, and I appreciated that.
But what also sucks is I'll get messages like that, and these folks clearly have no idea what kind of, like, order queue I have.
Yeah.
And I'll say, I'm sorry, I fell behind, and then they'll say something like, well, why didn't you send me a message?
Because I'm behind, ma'am.
I can't send everybody a message. I mean, that's just not possible. I'm not going to send 150 people messages. It's just, I can't.
Yeah, tell her that's how many people you're behind. I sent you the message I got from the guy on Etsy who said, he said, well, it looks like it's USPS has moved it past my house and is now another. And if you even shipped it at all. If you even shipped it all,
USPS, I'd be in a lot better position.
If I shipped it at all,
right?
People are just too dumb to even know.
Well, and then he ends it with, "This needs to be rectified immediately."
Okay, Karen.
What do you want me to do, Bob? Do you want me to go down to the post office?
Basically, I was like, I don't control the post office. I delivered it to them. That's on them. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Once I give it to the post office, like, I don't know what you want me to do.
Well, he also.
Remember how we were asking who buys these jigs, the stuff that we can look at and be like, oh, I know how to make that? Those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the guy also, he got mad at me. It says on it, it had a 5 to 7 day lead time. Yeah. And he says, and this went out after 4 days, 4 days after I ordered it. That's not okay.
Yeah, this ain't Amazon, bro.
Right.
Listen, ma'am. Hit him with that.
Listen, ma'am. Listen, Karen. And I do apologize to any Karens that are out there who are not a Karen.
Out there.
Yes.
I have gone as far as to respond to people with have the day you deserve sometimes.
Yep.
That's good. That's a ballsy move. I like that.
Ah, yes.
Oh, I love killing them with kindness, but like in a little jab there.
Yeah.
So you're obviously you're dealing with a lot of backlog issues and you're very busy right now. Are you looking to migrate off of Etsy or kind of have a centralized place? Like, are you building a website to put everything onto?
So,
or future first of plans.
You know what? I've been looking at Shopify, and a big thing, and I'm glad you actually said that, because I want to – everybody – not everybody. That's a lie. There are like 460 people who signed up, gave me their email to be notified when I relist the two jigs.
Dude, but, that's a nice mailing list.
But I realized right away I can't make that many. There's no possible way for me to do that many in a reasonable amount of time. So what I decided to do is I met a guy at Workbench, and I talked to him, and he's in Texas, and he is – right now I'm waiting for the sample piece from him, the pieces to come to me so I can see how they are. And then I think I'm going to do a pre-order on Shopify. And I'm going to – Shopify is a little lower on the fees that they charge, everything else. And, you know, there are a couple people who have an issue with some of the bad things that Etsy has been in the news for lately. So I'm going to try Shopify. I'm going to do a pre-order, and then I'm going to have everybody – I'm going to buy them from them basically and have them make them and ship them. Originally, we looked at having a company make them and ship them to us on a pallet. And my wife says, well, I want to do this. We can save money. I'll sand everything. I said, babe, you're not going to sand 200 pieces.
Is your wife my wife by chance? Are they the same person?
Because she doesn't know yet. She doesn't know what that entails.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, this is one of the things I messaged you about a couple of times. She has come on now and she is my CFO. She's part of the business. She wants to help out. So she did all the sanding on the pieces that we did before. She assembled them while I was working on other pieces that I had to get out because – Dan, like you said, as you know, when one thing hits big, that's not just one thing that hits big. It's anything else in your shop.
Yeah.
I had stuff selling there that I haven't sold in at least a year and a half. And
there's
collateral Etsy, damage, least, you could say.
On Etsy, at least, it could be a snowball effect. Once one thing pops off, you might see that trickle down to other products that you have
right there. So once all of that sort of, you know, she took care of everything, and she goes, I'm going to sand everything. Yeah. Good luck with that.
Oh, honey.
I mean, it's a valiant thing to say, but it's another thing to like act on it. Let's talk, you know, 6 weeks, 4 weeks, 3 days after the fact.
So it's easier to have somebody make them. And so my sort of thought is, I'm just going to get this big bubble. I'm going to have this guy make them, ship them out. He can do it. And then after that, I'm going to go back to just making everything on my own because I figure it'll be back to a normal level. Maybe I'll get an order or two a week. Maybe I won't. You know, I'll be a Dan Dunlap and go into my shop for 8 hours after I get out of work.
I'm just holding out.
You're a verb.
You're a verb.
I'll Dunlap it. I'm just kind of holding out until like some rich, like, I don't know why I want to say Saudi Arabian guy, but Saudi Arabian guy wants to buy my Etsy shop and I can sell it to him and retire. That's kind of my dream right now.
Prince Botayan. I am the Prince of Botayan, but you are King of Botayan. I want to be king.
I want
as well
to be king someday.
So if you want
to buy an Etsy store that already has traction, hit me up.
We have gotten offers for.
I've gotten offers, but like, yeah, they're super sketch. Like,
yeah.
Anyway, it's
one guy wanted to give me used pizza and 50,000 nickels. It was.
Was that great?
It was Nick Brim.
It was the Oma Bros.
We pitched together. We got 2.5 cases of Natty Lights.
We pitched together. We die together. Okay.
Why don't we? Do you want to get into questions or what's on our bench or what do you want to?
Well,
kind of
you know what's on my bench, bro.
I mean, we're an hour in.
Do you really
want to
do this?
No, but it's both ties. It's fine. But why don't we jump into some questions, and if we have time,
let's
jump
into
maybe some maker news and other stuff. Okay, so. First question, I guess we should play the
Black Betty, Ram Lamb.
So that's apparently our thing for questions now. So anyways, first question is from the King of France himself.
Ooh.
Louis.
Patrick Gensel.
Oh, wait.
Hey, guys. Patrick Gensel here. I'm actually watching your lovely faces right now on the pre-show, and I wanted to drop a question. So my question is, first of all, for everyone, how's everyone recovering from WorkbenchCon? It's been a couple weeks. Great. And then my real question is for Logan. First of all, how are you one of the nicest people in the maker community? And second of all, how did you get into making? I know you're a teacher in the vision field by day. How did you get into making, and what led you down the path of making so many cool jigs? All right, that's all I have. Have a great night, guys.
I forgot Patrick asked that question. We kind of stole his thunder, didn't we, during the whole interview process?
Well, I mean, I think I have two things to add to it.
Okay. Well, how are you the nicest person in the maker community? Are
so, you first of all, Patrick messaged me. He wants to come up to see my shop the Sunday or Monday of the eclipse. So I think he's just trying to be nice so that I say yes and he can sleep in my house instead of camping out.
Can I come by and not murder you?
It's funny because I had two people.
Do you still have both kidneys?
Buzz Brennan from A91 and Patrick both messaged me and said, hey, so I want to go to Rochester for the eclipse. And
oh, that's right. Yeah, that's
can I
right.
come
the
visit?
Path of totality, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, it's a good thing it's not going to be busy or anything up there.
No, there's nothing planned.
Only a few people. Yeah, only a few people that are going to be up there.
Yeah. So I think he's just buttering me up. But really, coming back to my Navy years and my 20s, I truly believe I have so much to apologize for who I was back then, that I have to be a nice guy now to make up for all the...
You're just offsetting the cosmic scale. Yeah,
he's making amends for his past discretion.
Oh, I was such a guy.
For the record, and I can't believe I'm going to say this out loud, but I can vouch for Patrick. He's a very nice guy. I don't think he'll murder you too much.
I'm still
probably
alive.
Not.
He hasn't unalived me yet, and I've hung out with him multiple times and
you
slept
stayed
in a room
with
him.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, he did print out a small mini me, the 3D print of me. So
yeah, he's only got a little voodoo shrine for it. It's no big deal.
That's fine. He probably. I think he's okay. I can take his glasses, and I won't have to worry about him finding me. And then the.
Well, you answered how you got into making, but then how'd you get into designing the jigs?
So here's the funny thing. The way that I got into making things, my dad had a jigsaw when I was a kid, and that's the only tool I had growing up. And I made card holders and painted them. And my uncle had, he was an ear, nose, and throat surgeon in Miami, and he bought them from me. And so that, you know, that always, you know, I was a kid and he bought that stuff and that always was, hey, look, I made something. And then when I was in the Navy, I had two mattresses that were on the floor and I needed a headboard. And so I bought some pine and made a headboard. And so anytime I needed something, I'd be like, let me just see if I can find something to throw together. Hence my plywood and 2x4 Frankendesk.
The new
we have a
special.
Very similar origin story, all of us. We got good at woodworking because poor.
Yeah.
I mean, it's basic as it gets and it works.
Yeah, it's just, how'd you get so good at this? I had no money.
That was no choice. It was
nothing. A TikTok trending audio for a while. How'd you get so good at this?
Yeah.
Well, you see, I was known as poor.
A poor.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and then, there you go. And the jigs literally came about because I needed to do something. And like anything else, you want to either make it safer, you want to make it cleaner, more repetitive.
Easier
to do, yeah. So yeah. Anytime I made something, I was like, there's got to be an easier way to do it. Let me do this.
Yeah. I've found that if you make something that makes like a tedious task for woodworkers or anybody really, and you make it simplified and brainless.
Yep.
That's what people want.
Yep.
Anybody, so like my Etsy store, anybody can make their own bow ties. Yep. Super simple. Or anybody could make their own zero clearance insert. It's pretty simple. But what I'm doing is I'm just providing a service, really, that makes it super easy. And
you're solving a problem.
Yeah, yeah. I'm solving a problem that's saving people time.
Yep.
Well, and time is the most valuable, you know,
commodity. 100%. Yeah. That is our most valuable commodity. So I have a question for you and a statement I wanted to go with that. I truly believe in the KISS method. Like, anytime
keep
you make
it simple,
something
stupid.
Yeah. Anytime you make something and you make it too complicated, it breaks. And if one part of it breaks and it affects everything else, you're screwed. So I like to, let's make it as simple as possible. That way I can use it. I don't have to worry about having a problem. I don't have to worry about anything. And I can't tell you the number of times, like, actually, it's kind of funny. When we went to, not last year, the year before, my daughter and I drove up to Maker Camp on Sunday, which, if anybody's ever thinking about going to Maker Camp, don't go up for one day on a Sunday. Everybody, there's no schedule. Nobody's really doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Everybody's run down.
Yeah.
That's one way to put it.
I mean, it's a great time overall, but Sunday by itself is a poor reflection of the whole event. So while we were driving up, I was thinking through this. I needed a better way to hang my vacuum hose for my sander. And literally the entire way, I was breaking down, because it was a 3-hour drive, breaking down how I wanted to do it and redesigning it in my head over and over until I got to the simplest, easiest way to do it. And I still love it. I love the way I made it when I came back. Dan, are you using the Thunderbolt, the Thunder Laser, the bolt to cut out your bow ties as well?
No, not currently. No. It's way more efficient to cut those out on the CNC as well.
Okay.
But I, like we've discussed, I'm using that now to cut out the templates, the acrylic templates, simply because it looks cleaner. It's a better like representation of what I'm offering.
Right.
Yeah. The CNC did a fine job, and I've literally sold thousands of those at this point. But I believe the laser is going to give me a cleaner look, which is, you know, it's a first representation of who I am and what I offer. It's a first impression. So I like that first impression to be as good as possible.
Yeah.
Well, they and look Braden great. Last week, I don't know if you listened last week, but Braden gave me a great idea to put a QR code to a video that shows you how to use the jig in compliance with the bow ties I offer. And if you put that right on the jig, you can't lose it.
No, that's awesome. Brilliant.
So I've actually been wanting to, it's funny because you're talking about like cutting on a laser, the bow ties. I've been wanting to do a test of CNC versus laser cut bow ties, because when you burn the wood, it has an effect on the material where you would think it actually would like close up the pores because it burned it away. Nope, wide open. It actually burns it away. Like we had an issue where Keith came over and we laser engraved the name. We didn't pre-seal it or anything. We just poured epoxy into it and it just went everywhere. It just spread through that look around the board because it just went through right through the pores. But also, what kind of effect does it have on glue and adhesion? Because it chars away the outside. So you have to wipe it down a little bit. Right. You got to actually clean it up. There's quite a bit of residue, and it doesn't always come off with just blowing it off.
Not only that, when it has a laser charred edge, it does leave the finest of outlines on it. And that's not always desired.
Yeah, that's a good point.
In my opinion.
Well, and Pete, I mean, if you CNC something out and don't seal it, you're going to get the same thing, though.
True.
Well, but that's what I'm trying to figure out is if the
which
the
one is worse
effect as well. Is it worse or better? And I actually want to do a test because I have some of Dan's bow ties. I want to laser some and I want to try to glue it by the sides only, the edges only, to test for strength. I need to do that test. It's literally been on like a project idea board for a while. Like I don't do a lot of bow ties, but just I'm thinking of like inlays and stuff where they're laser cut instead of CNC'd out. I don't know, just a thought. So Dan, maybe we'll work together on that and try to do some testing. Because listen, because if they're just as strong And just as good, you
when
know,
Etsy like, slowed
you,
down.
You might get a bigger laser and just start cranking them out on a laser, and you would have maybe, no waste.
Maybe.
It would just be back to back to back, baby.
Yeah, that's the one thing that that really appeals to me with the laser is the zero waste.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's and so
they have true. A nice bevel when you cut, because it like when you cut, the beam actually goes at a V. It actually goes at an X.
So which, like, makes it hits, like, which makes it like go
it
in.
It makes it like a wedge. Yeah, exactly. So you can like actually wedge it into your piece.
Oh,
Never thought of that.
Yeah. So like, because the beam is focused, and it actually, so wherever you set your height, that's actually where the V joins, and you get the cleanest cut. That's why if you're too high or too low, you get a wide burn. Because what it does is it's like with your eyes, it actually continues beyond the V. It's an X, so it starts reflecting the other way. So if you're too high up, you're actually shooting a wide beam. Or if you're too close, you're shooting a wide beam. But if you're just right, you're going to get a nice fine piece. So if you have a cupped piece on a laser, Dan, it'll actually like cut really fine. And then you start getting really fat lines and you might not be able to cut through material. Mm. Yeah.
That's what I like about the Thunderbolt, not to turn this into a Thunderbolt commercial, but it has that autofocus feature.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal.
Well, nice. Autofocus so is great, but if you have cupped material.
Yeah, that's not going to help for cupped material, but... Going back to what you were talking about, getting that laser beam focused perfectly where it needs to be, that feature is fantastic.
Mine had the autofocus, but I removed it for the new, because I have the American Photonics laser, or the lens kits. So I have three different sizes, and the way they're designed, the nozzle they added on them, the nozzle helps you set the height. So you actually use a AAA battery, and that's the perfect thickness. as the height measure. So if you can get the battery just underneath it, you're at a perfect height. Nice. If it's loose or if it's tight, it's the wrong height. Cool. I've been meaning to 3D print something for that, but anyways, right. But yeah, sorry, went off tangent on a tangent done. There.
There we go.
Tangito. Okay, so next we have a question from a English-speaking caller.
Hey guys, Logan, I've read you used to be in the Navy and I need to ask, with all the stories coming out recently, did you ever see something crazy, like UAP crazy? And also, is there something you learn in the Navy that you use in your woodworking journey? All right, bye.
UAP is the new UFO.
Is that the...
I was really trying to figure out what that was.
I saw you pick up your phone.
Unidentified anal probe.
No, UAP means
unidentified anomalous phenomena.
Yes, but they too many. For some reason they decided UFO wasn't, you know, specific enough. So UAP is what people now call UFOs.
Well, have you ever seen anything crazy?
Well, I could.
Can you talk about it?
Then I'd have
that you
to
can
kill
talk
you.
About.
Oh, have man. To, I'd have to throw a bottle at you.
Good
here.
Luck finding all the listeners.
Yeah. No, I didn't. I mean, there was stuff. The base I was on, there are parts of it that we were not allowed to go to, and I'm still, you know, you can't talk about the stuff that was on that base, but the parts of it. But the part I was on, there was nothing. So,
man, that's not as dramatic as I was hoping for.
No,
that
I got
story
nothing.
Was boring.
I'm sorry. And then and then I found $20 underneath a car seat. My sister once
base,
told me
about that base, no trouble. And then you just told me nothing.
No,
what was the second question?
I don't know. I was hoping you could tell me.
Wait, we're gonna go back to
guys. Also, is there something you learn in the Navy that you use in your woodworking journey?
So did you learn anything in a Navy for your woodworking?
I mean, you know, it was funny. I mean, we talked about the fact that I was an optician in the Navy, and so that I used that. You know, I have a very important medical box over there. It's full of electrical tape and a paper towel. that's my medical box.
Yeah, when you get a cut, you wrap yourself in electrical tape. Everybody, yeah, that.
Stick it in sawdust.
Yeah. I do that. I do that first, and then lick it off. No, you know what? The biggest thing on the base that I really liked and I think did impact me was we had a auto body shop that you could go in, and there was a guy who was stationed there that would teach you how to work on your car if you didn't know what to do, or they had all the tools. So at the time, you know, I learned how to do brakes. I changed my tires. I mean, actually the tire itself, not just changing a tire. I worked on the car. I did everything. And that really kept me up with working with my hands and understanding what to do and just how to make things and fix things.
So once there again, it comes back to you being poor.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, really.
Yeah. And then when I moved off base,
being poor is the best. Like it really is the best. It's a lot. But it's
it wasn't
also, like,
at the time, but now I can look back on it.
Later in life, you're like, you're the cool guy.
That government cheese was actually really good. Now that I think about it. Anyway, that's a throwback. Can I just throw this in here real fast?
Oh, here we go.
Because we've said this a couple dozen times now, I feel like, in this podcast, and every time we say it, my brain is like. Every time you say in the Navy, my brain goes, in the Navy.
In the Navy. I just want to think of Adrian. Adrian was in a Navy.
Oh, was she?
Yeah, Hickory Homestead Creations. She was in a Navy. That's why she's crazy now.
I think we talked about that at...
she wasn't a part of the Baker base camp. That he couldn't go to.
Very possible. Very possible. It was guarded by
She didn't
Marines.
Have clearance. She was just part of the test subjects.
A lot of testing.
So many tests.
The craziest thing I did for money, speaking of tests.
Here we go.
Nope. 1 year in college, I was in a NASA study for 2 weeks. I laid in bed at the Hershey Medical Center with my head 6 degrees below my feet. We were not allowed to sit up. We were not allowed to get out of bed. Everything you had to do was in bed for 2 weeks.
Wait a minute.
Wow.
What do you mean by 6 degrees below you? Like,
just like you were tilted slightly down.
Oh, tilted. I was, yeah. Oh my goodness. I was envisioning you like bent over with your head below your feet. Like, how the hell did you maintain that for?
I just pretended NASA? The plane was going to crash. Yeah, it was a NASA bed rest study. Man. They wanted to see what was going to happen to veins and arteries, and got paid good money to do that. Sucked.
I'm just imagining the researchers like, and none of them died, not one.
Someday I will tell you the rest of that story, but I will never tell the rest of that story.
Where it's recorded?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, that's a bad idea.
I have stories that I won't tell where there could be any digital footprint. I understand.
You know what? Can we just point out how lucky we were that we grew up at an age where everything we did was not video recorded?
Oh, bro.
Yeah. The last, generation to live
I
in that.
Would be in prison.
Do you remember getting into fights?
Yes.
You can't do that now.
I remember so many things.
I mean, you still can, but they're going to get you.
My friends, I can't even mention it now because I don't know how far back the statute of limitations. I don't know how far back it goes, but my buddies and I, we did some dumb stuff, even up until we were 18.
Damn, we have a podcast. 18. We're still doing dumb stuff.
18? Were you stopped at 18?
Well... that I want to tell people about in any sort of capacity, recorded or not.
At 18.
Yeah. I'm so glad that there were no smartphones back when I was a teenager.
It was a different time, man. We really, before social media and all that stuff, do you guys remember just hanging out?
Yep.
Yeah. Not having anything
remember,
to do? It was a different time.
My friends and I, we would go cruising. We would get in our cars and go down.
We had a CB radio.
Yeah. Well, I'm not as old as you, Logan, but we had pagers. We would drive the main drag of the town, which was called Broadway.
Whoa.
You would just go back and forth all night long.
Yep.
And occasionally stop at a gas station. Yeah. And hang out with people. And yeah, man.
We stopped at Sheetz. That was our gas station.
Sheets.
We have to do that here. I'm sorry.
We have a French brand out here. It's called Wawa.
Yeah.
Is that really French, though?
I just choose to be.
Tomah, is that French?
It's Wawa. They used to be Wawa Weewa, but then they split up.
I don't know.
Sorry, that was a dumb joke. Honest. That was such a dumb joke. No, we have Wawa out here. And like people, it's one of those like people defended with their life. And it's like, come on, there's
I'll give you a one story because I'm pretty sure that I can't get in too much trouble for this. Here we go. I don't know how old we were. We were old enough to drive. That's all I know. And we weren't of prison age yet.
You're still juvie age, not so federal prison.
I grew up in Iowa, which is also a very flat state. But where I lived, the city I lived, it has hills. So it's not mountainous, but there are big hills. Anyways, we would drive around in neighborhoods slowly, like suburban neighborhoods, like where families are and stuff. And we would look for little kids' trikes or big wheels that they left out in their yard. And we would, if we found some, we would steal them, throw them in the back of my buddy's old truck. And then we would go to the biggest hill in town and have races on these big wheels and trikes down the hill into oncoming traffic. So that's the most tame one I could tell you. I feel bad because like kids probably woke up in the morning and realized their bikes and trikes and big wheels were gone. And we were the dickwads that were stealing them for entertainment.
That is the dumbest thing I ever heard because we did it with shopping carts. At there least it had a roll cage, right? Am I right? I mean,
it was top heavy though.
Yeah, we did some stuff with
shopping carts. We did a lot worse things, a lot worse things.
Oh my god.
Well, how about the fact that try to get my kids to do this, ride your bike to your friend's house that was miles away.
Oh yeah.
Oh yes. We would leave.
Yep.
And I would ride across town that would take a couple hours.
Yep.
Like, yeah. We would leave.
Yep.
And, yeah. And no way to call. No way, nothing.
Yep.
Where you been? What? I was out.
What changed? Mm-hmm. What?
There was no app that they could track us. They're just like, I hope that kid comes back. Oh my goodness.
That's a different time. You just assume they would come back. Like, I remember, here's the thing. Like, I have fond memories of like traversing my city back in Poland and like leaving for hours, coming back in the dark or whatever. And then I look back and I'm like, I came here when I was 12. That means all of that was before 12. And I left for like hours on a bike. One time I had my bike stolen in the woods that was like miles from my house and I had to walk back.
And then you would start to get into your neighborhood and all of a sudden you hear this.
My mom could whistle. She could whistle really loud. Ooh. So if we heard that whistle, I was like, oh shit, we gotta go.
I gotta go, guys.
I'm gonna get my
the good old days
whooped. So that was fun.
Well, you know what else was fun?
This podcast.
This right here.
I had a great time.
This was fun.
I mean, honestly, I feel like a new man.
Okay.
There's only one new man here.
I'm sorry. I had to do that.
It's not you, but Pete.
Well, listen, new man. How can people find you on the internets in case they're new to this man?
So it's Newman Specials everywhere. Just type Newman Specials into Google and you'll find me. However, there is one person with my picture, and actually it's my picture and Ryan from Cochrane Kayak.
Ryan Cochrane.
Cochrane Kayaks, yep.
I love Ryan. He's my guy at Maker Camp. He and I just like bonded immediately. He became best friends. We were like, oh, hey, I've known you for 10 minutes. You're my best friend. It was like we were kids again. So somebody stole the picture of us from Maker Camp that Mark Adams did, and they have it up, and they have my name, and they're in Florida, the bastards.
Look, if you're listening to this, you know who you are.
Fetish.
We're coming for you.
I'm coming. So anywhere else except for that one. I'm in New York. So
it's Newman's
Specials. Yes.
Or not Newman's.
Not in Ohio.
It's not Newman's Special. It's not Newman's Special. No. I've had that too. Are you special? No. No, what I make is special. Because it's made with love.
That's the first ingredient.
It's always the main part.
Pine, and then pressure treating.
Yes, yes. That's how I'm going to make my next end grain cutting board.
I'm telling you, it's on the list of things that are going to go viral. I have a list that I'm just never going to get to. That's one of them.
I have a whole bunch of jig ideas, things that I want to make, and I have not had time. That's the other thing. And Dan, I think both of you guys will understand this. I know you've talked about it. When we talk about what's on the bench and you talk about all your Etsy orders, and the hard part is you have so many to do, you don't have a chance to explore.
Be creative.
That's what sucked lately.
When I do find myself doing it, I feel guilty. Like, I shouldn't be doing this.
I feel guilty cleaning my shop and, like, organizing and putting stuff away. Like, I should be working on this thing, but, like, I can't do this thing because the shop's a mess.
Well, my wife would walk in here before and she'd see how crazy everything is. She goes, your shop is a mess and it drives me nuts. And now she walks in, she's like, oh, I understand why your shop's a mess.
Yeah, she gets it now.
Yeah.
Right. Once you're behind a curtain, you get how the butter is made. I don't know what the saying
the
is.
Butter is churned.
The churn, yeah.
Behind the curtain with Oz.
Yeah, behind the curtain.
That's what Oz was doing behind the curtain.
He was churning butter.
Yeah. Was he churning butter?
Yeah.
That's weird. That's how he made the big machine work.
Yeah. That's
he does a giant butter churn. Everybody knows that.
That's where the monkeys came from. The butter churn.
Okay. Yeah. We're talking about the monkeys. Hey, everybody, thank you for listening.
Thank you guys for having me. I am so appreciative of you guys. I told you before, I love the podcast. I love the two of you. I really, really appreciate you allowing me to be on here with you.
Logan, the check is in the mail. Okay, we appreciate it.
I thought I was paying you. Oh, good.
Oh, yes.
Oh, this is awkward. Okay, yeah. Hey.
Well, we appreciate you. Thank you so much for joining, man. We really, really, really appreciate it.
If you want to help us spread the love of this show, you can share it wherever you possibly can. Tell your neighbors, tell your friends, tell your church fellows, tell the family you haven't seen in years. You know, make amends. Go talk to them. Tell them about the podcast. They're gonna love you even more for it.
Amends and women's, whatever.
If you want to help us out on Patreon, go over to patreon.com/anotherwoodshoppodcast. Get signed up for one of our tiers over there. T-I-E-R-S, not tears that come from my eye, because I'm sad that you're not joining up. I almost screwed up the spelling. What else, Petey?
Oh my God, Dan, I'm so glad you tossed it to me because I have so many exciting things to talk about. We are going to be rolling out some extra clips of the podcast. There's some little teasers and things like you'll
be
like,
some big things.
I missed that
big
thing.
Things coming up.
And we have some exciting stuff that's coming down a pipeline that we started setting up this year. We have some big stuff happening for episode 200 in just 5 weeks.
200.
We're doing episode 200. 200.
200 weeks.
4 years of doing this.
Good Lord.
Insanity.
How have I not quit yet?
I don't know. Why am I still here? When is when does the money get here?
When do you get deported back to Poland? That's what I want to know.
Paperwork keeps bouncing. That's why I changed my name. But we have a lot of exciting stuff happening. Keep an eye out on the account. We're going to try to be a little more active on there. We're going to try to give a little more back, some little sneak peeks and things for the Patreon stuff. And I'm saying it now so that we do it, Dan. There is a Patreon-only call coming up soon. So if you want to join that, we're going to try to do that by no later than May. We try to do one every 6 months, really. Like, we try to do quarterly, but it just gets busy. It's real quick. So we will be doing that. We have some exciting stuff. Make sure you tune in for episode 200. There is going to be giveaways that we're going to be doing at the live. Mm-hmm. And Dan?
Love you long time. I was going to say something, but I don't think I want to say it now.
Don't say it.
I'm not saying it. But I do love you long time.
I love you long time. Okay, bye, 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 bye.
Bye.
I can't believe I volunteered for this.